specifically when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and all the related issues. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this summer we are involved in what we're calling Halachic Men Season 3. So far we've discussed the life and times of the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. Tonight I'd like to begin with you a conversation about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is fascinating. Chazon Ish is, in terms of impact on the Haredi world that we know today, the Chazon Ish, the Chazon Ish, after he came to Israel, he really fashioned Haredi society. It's an unbelievable thing. The Chazon Ish moved to Israel in 1933. He was Nifter in 1954. So much of Israeli society that we know today is based on the contribution of the Chazon Ish. He was a fascinating, fascinating person. And we're going to talk about the Chazon Ish over this next week, 2 weeks, etc., until we go on summer vacation and then close up shop a little bit. Now, the sources of knowledge that we have on the Chazon Ish are as follows. The Chazon Ish has his halachic writings. There are many, many volumes. He published some 20-odd volumes in his lifetime, which are today put together in a set of around 10 volumes. That's a set of Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has a very small book called Emuna Ubitachon, which is about faith and trusting God. Very small book, like 5 complete chapters, and then he didn't finish number 6. And then there are letters of the Chazon Ish, which are printed in this little volume that I brought tonight called the Kobetz Igros Chazon Ish, the collection of the letters of the Chazon Ish. These are the major sources that are penned by the Chazon Ish's own hand. The Chazon Ish did not really have many students, that we'll talk about in a few minutes, or students in the classical sense. We do have, however, information about the Chazon Ish from an unlikely source, which is the Chazon Ish's major student in Vilna was the author of the work The Yeshiva and Semach Atlas. Chaim Grada is the Chazon Ish's major student. And the descriptions that Chaim Grada has about the author of the Vision of Abraham. Vision of Abraham is the Chazon Ish, in Chaim Grada talk. Chaim Grada himself is Chaikol Vilner in the Yeshiva. And the Baal Musar that Chaikol Vilner used to be attached to was a Tzemach Atlas, and then he breaks away, he has his issues with Navarika Musar, he's left astray, and he connects to the author of The Vision of Abraham, who's known as Abraham Shaya Kosovo. That is Abram Yeshaya of Kosovo, right? Who is the Chazon Ish. So a major, major source of the Chazon Ish is the Yeshiva and the work Tzemach Atlas that was written by Chaim Grada. We have biographies of the Chazon Ish. Mostly they are Haredi biographies. The Pe'er Hadar was written by the Chazon Ish's other student at that time, Reb Shlomo Cohen. Wrote the Pe'er Hadar. Pe'er Hadar is 4 volumes, I believe. Very interesting stories about the Chazon Ish. Then there's a Sefer Maisa Ish about the Chazon Ish. There's a number of story books about the Chazon Ish. Again, like hagiography rather than history about the Chazon Ish. And then a few years ago, the fattest book known to mankind came out. This is Benny Brown's book on the Chazon Ish. It was published by Yeshiva University and Magnus Press of Hebrew U, a joint publication. It's called, catchy title, HaChazon Ish. Right? The Chazon Ish, the posek, the believer, and the leader of the Haredi upheaval. That's the title of the... It's pretty small.
Hebrew
English. It's in Hebrew. a Haredi Revolution, not Haredi Up People. It has like a title page in English in the back, just that you could have it in normal libraries. So these are the basic sources that we have about the Chazon Ish. There's a few other sources that we will refer to. And now let's just begin. Tonight I want to talk about the Chazon Ish rather than actually learning Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is born in November of 1878. He is known by the name of his book, The Chazon Ish. I'm just reading from Wikipedia. He became the leader of Haredi or Judaism in Israel, etc. Now, he's born in Kosovo. He's the eldest son of the rabbi of Kosovo, Reb Shmaryahu Yosef Karelitz. Shmaryahu Yosef, by the way, is the name of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Shmaryahu Yosef Chaim, who's the Chazon Ish's nephew, right? Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that's the name Shmaryahu Yosef, the Rav of Kosovo. The mother is Rasha, beautiful. The Chazon Ish is one of nine siblings. One of nine siblings. Four girls, five boys. Each of them was a figure of note. Every single one was a figure of note. The Chazon Ish's brothers-in-law were the Stipler, Reb Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the Stipler, the father of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. The Chazon Ish had another brother-in-law, Reb Meir Karelitz, who was a Rav in Vilna, who initially is the one who made a connection between the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Moshe Grzensky while in Vilna. The Chazon Ish, everyone from the family was a significant person. The Chazon Ish's father himself was a person of some significance, was a known Rav who wrote a commentary on Mishnah Yischulin that was known, and the Chazon Ish each year in his father's yahrzeit would learn all of Maseches Chulin. This is actually one of the mistakes that Benny Brown makes in his book. He says all of Maseches Chulin, which is so big it has 105 pages. Well, I'm sorry, Benny Brown, but Maseches Chulin is much bigger than 105 pages. Chulin has, 142 pages, no? So, okay, what can you do? Benny Brown made a mistake in that point. Now, gotcha, right? The Chazon Ish, interestingly, you have to get back. Who was the Chazon Ish's Rebbe? Who did he study by? Where did he go to yeshiva? Answer? He didn't. The Chazon Ish did not go. Right, remember, one of the basic themes that we have been developing is that there's a certain type of halachic work that's often connected to the city of Vilna. The Vilna Gaon, right, was an autodidact, no? Studied on his own. Never occupied a real position. The Chafetz Chaim studied on his own. Was obsessed with the Vilna Gaon. Never really occupied a real position. He was like a rabbi for a couple of weeks and resigned, no? Chazon Ish also studied on his own, never went to yeshiva, may or may not have been the rabbi for a few weeks, we'll talk about that, or a few months, we'll talk about that, unclear, but he is in Vilna, and he is the tipus of the Vilna Gaon, and there's a certain type of halacha that will come out of these works that is really interesting, because this is halacha, as we would call it, min hamakorot. This is text-based halacha, halacha that is less interested in practice, more interested in vos shteit, and that is the halacha that the Mishnah Brura did, the halacha that the Gra did, and the halacha that the Chazon Ish did. Now, there's going to be slight differences in their approach to halacha, but fundamentally, these are all text-based tradition rather than mimetic tradition. Right? To go back to Chaim Soloveitchik's point. Why did the... Yeah?
I can give you an interesting anecdote. In the 20s, that was initially living in a little town called States.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. For 3 years. And if you want to get a flavor of States, if you read Zalman Shazar's book of...
he was a Yelid of that community, yeah.
Exactly. And in the book itself, in Zalman Shazar's book, it's always talking about a fanatical rabbi. A fanatical rabbi this, a fanatical rabbi that. So, and that was my grandfather.
Well, your grandfather was the rabbi?
Yeah, my
what was his name?
lasers. Don't wear lasers.
Okay, so I want
to... 1 second. So the Chazon Ish lived in the house for 3 years. He rented a room in my grandfather's house and he lived there. Unfortunately, when I was small and they were all gathering away and talking about the Chazon Ish, I had no idea what they were talking about. So I can't tell you any of the anecdotes. But
the Chazon Ish is a Jew who would just rent a room and sit and learn.
That's it for 3 years. He stayed in states.
This is
one hostel.
Now the Chazon Ish basically he often did not even learn in the base midrash. The Chazon Ish would study not even in his own house often. We'll talk about why in a few minutes. But he would study in his brother-in-law's house, where his brother-in-law kept the room and he sat and he learned.
In his private library.
He had Sfarim. The Chazon Ish would occasionally ask his wife for a few bucks to buy books. Chazon Ish's wife ran a business. She sold some garments. She sold like fabrics. And Chazon Ish didn't deal with money. He had a mathematical inclined mind. So when business would get busy, he would do the cheshbonos for her. But the Chazon Ish didn't carry money. When he needed a few dollars to buy a sefer, he'd ask his wife, can I have some money to buy a sefer? He'd buy a sefer. Right? This is the Chazon Ish. This is the image of Kulo Torah. That all he cared about was learning, nothing else. But let's just talk a few other points. Not only did the Chazon Ish not study in yeshiva, the Chazon Ish did not even study in cheder. Let's explain. Cheder is like little kids. Usually you'd go to cheder when around the age of 2. Right? And then you would study and learn a little bit and learn some chumash. And the Rebbe, if you were a bad kid, the Rebbe would beat you if you didn't know. Right? That's cheder. Chazon Ish did not go to cheder. His father was, for 2 reasons. One reason, he was a weak and sickly child. No one felt the Chazon Ish would really make it health-wise. Dying young was very common.
Yeah.
What?
They didn't invest in him,
a sickly boy. More than that, the Chazon Ish's father felt that maybe in cheder he'd have some bad influences. So the Chazon Ish didn't go to cheder, but he hired a special malamed for the Chazon Ish. When the Chazon Ish quotes Moiri V'Rabi, he quotes his Rebbe, he means the little malamed that he had when he was 7, 8, 9 years old. That's the Chazon Ish's Rebbe. That's it. Okay? So now, the Chazon Ish was a quiet person, didn't speak much, didn't like to talk. Very quiet. He said about himself, he won't utter anything until he thought it through. And by the time he thinks it through, he's already writing it down, so why say it? That's what he's up to. Now, the Chazon Ish, according to some traditions, was not intellectually gifted, but he was a workhorse. Now, the Stipler, the Chazon Ish's brother-in-law, said about this tradition that anyone who says it is in violation of Lashon Hara to say the Chazon Ish was not intellectually gifted. I don't know. Honestly, for me, I think it would be more inspiring to think that you could get something through toil and hard work. But it's clear the Chazon Ish had tremendous ability to delve into a sugya and come out with something. But whether intellectually he was gifted or not, I can't take a stand. It is possible, Benny Brown suggests in his massive book, it's possible that when they say the Chazon Ish wasn't intellectually gifted, what they mean is by the traditional yeshiva standards of being able to say a sharp svara and to reject something that other people are saying, the Chazon Ish didn't have that talent. But certainly his memory, certainly his ability to delve into something and arrive at a firm conclusion, that was clearly there. According to tradition, and this tradition is even found in Wikipedia, as a youth, third paragraph, ready? I'm quoting only primary sources, ladies and gentlemen. Wikipedia. As a youth, Rabbi Karelitz was sent to study under Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk. He did not take to the Brisker method. Later became clear he actually opposed it. After 2 years, he returned home, continued his education with his father, who was the head of the local Bezdin, Hima Eri Bashamayim. Okay, a lot in that statement. It's not true. Not true. The Chazanish was never sent to Reb Chaim. We don't even know exactly where he went. We do know from various sources. Now, the main source that we have for this type of stuff is the Chazon Ish had a chavrusa when he was in the town of I'll tell you in a second. He had a chavrusa when he was in the town of in Stivitz. That's
Stivitz.
The Chazon had a chavrusa. That's only second. Okay.
States.
In Stavitz. He had a chas.
Huh? States.
Again?
States.
Stavitz?
States.
Okay.
I think in
Russian
Polish it's called Stolz.
Okay.
If you look at
Zalman
Chaz's book, he
writes. The Chazanish's Chavrusa was the father of the late chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Yitzchak Kulitz. And there was a playwright who lived in New York named Tzvi Kulitz, who was a good friend of my father, and Tzvi Kulitz used to come over and talk about the Chazon Ish. Right? So, I remember hearing stories about the Chazon Ish from Tzvi Kulitz. Very, very interesting things. Now, Tzvi Kulitz's father said that the Chazon Ish went to yeshiva. It's unclear that in Benny Brown, he has like a long footnote, whether he studied in Volozhin a little bit, or we went to study by Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim already wasn't in Volozhin, maybe in Brisk. Whatever it is, the tradition is that the Chazon Ish went, and he left almost immediately after. Why he left is not clear. Why he left is not clear. It could be, according to some traditions, he left because the kashra standards in Brisk weren't up to the Chazon Ish's standards. That's one tradition. Another tradition that he left is he didn't like the chevra of fellows. That's a little bit hard to understand. The Chazon Ish never really had friends. Right? But maybe he was worried, like his father was worried about him being under a bad influence. He was worried about being under a bad influence. We don't know. Benny Brown has the following suggestion, that the Chazon Ish, when he went to yeshiva, was thinking of actually adopting the method of learning that Reb Chaim was known for, which is the analytical method, that you study a law and you try to figure out what does the law mean and analyze it. It's not into the text, the bare bones of the text. You don't care what the Gemara says in terms of the flow of the Gemara. You care more about what's the conclusion of the Gemara. That's Reb Chaim's method of study. And the Chazon Ish was considering adopting that study, and he decided not to. Okay. The Chazon Ish at the same time also, says Benny Brown, was, like many youths at this time period, the Chazon Ish was thinking about Haskalah. Now, and Zionism perhaps, although we have less evidence of that.
Haskalah was different.
What?
Haskalah was rampant.
Now, how do I know the Chazon Ish started Haskalah? We know this because the Chazon Ish says that he read certain newspapers. He read Hapeles, Hatzafira. Now, these are not really Maskil newspapers. These are like Haredi pseudo-Maskil newspapers. Okay. But his style of writing is modern Hebrew. No? He's not writing in rabbinic Hebrew. He's also not writing using foreign words very much. His writing is modern Hebrew. This is similar to the Haskalah. Says Benny Brown, around this time of his life, when he goes to yeshiva, he returns, he's going through some existential crisis, he suggests, and there's a poem that we have that's printed in the Kobetz Igros of the Chazon Ish, which we don't know when the poem was written. Why don't we know when the poem is written? Because this book, Kobetz Igros, this book of the letters of the Chazon Ish, unfortunately was heavily edited, and it does not tell me who the letter is written to, does not give me the date. So as a work of history, not so useful. Right? But we happen to have certain, many of these letters we have, and we could fill in the gaps. this particular poem, we don't know exactly when he wrote it, but Benny Brown suggests he wrote it at this time, he's going through this crisis, and the poem goes like this. Hasason v'hayagon mit'avkim. Joy and anguish are fighting. Meitim bizra'otehem mit'chabkim. They die hugging each other in their arms. Re'im mino'ar gam shnehem. They are friends from childhood. Lamrot rav hatachrut b'nehem. Despite the tremendous tension between them. Ahavti etchem gam yachad. I loved both of them together. Tavati mitzula. Hachazani pachad. Then I drown in the depths and I'm overcome with fear. Lo yadati et nafshi, I don't know myself. Achorani rav rafshi, bikachti chofesh, ta'avti nofesh, I'm looking for vacation, for relaxation. Saneti sason, I hate my enjoyment. Bacharti bigoni, I choose my anguish. Ahavti batanugim, and then I love my anguish with deep pleasure. Hishtashati bigonim, I get pleasure in the anguish. What the heck is going on here? It's a beautiful poem, no? You have a tension between joy, sason and yagon mit'avkim, joy and anguish are fighting. At first, the Chazon Ish says, I want both of them. Then he decides that I can't have both of them. And I made a decision to only have one. And I hated my joy, and I loved, and I chose my anguish, and I came to love the thing that previously was my anguish. Says Benny Brown that the pshat in this letter is that the Chazon Ish is going through an existential crisis. He's thinking about Haskola. Remember, the Chazon Ish was well read. We know from his halachic writings. He knew astronomy. He knew mathematics. He was well read. And he has a desire maybe to be drawn to this world that we would call Haskola. That's the sason, it's very pleasurable. And then the yagon is the plain ordinary Torah. That's the anguish. But he made a decision that I'm going to choose the anguish. And that decision is, Benny Brown, that, and this was said by his brother at his Levaya, right? The Chazon Ish's brother, the Chazon Ish's Levaya, said that at the Chazon Ish's bar mitzvah, he made a decision that I'm only going to study Torah and nothing else. And maybe this is the existential crisis. Now, if there's an existential crisis before the age of 13, it's very early to have such a crisis. But he was a precocious youth. Right? So it is entirely possible. It's an entirely possible read. This is Benny Brown's suggestion. In one of the reviews of Benny Brown's book, which came out in the journal Hamayan, which is published by Yeshivat Shalavim. So, Rabbi, what's his name? Oh. Rabbi Yehoshua Halevi Levin says, you can't say this about the Chazon Ish. He's having an existential crisis. Chas v'cholila! To say this about the Chazon Ish. I don't know. Again, like, I think one of our ideas as modern Orthodox Jews is that we respect people precisely because they went through a certain crisis. Now, if Benny Brown is right, that he went through a crisis, and if this crisis is around the time of his bar mitzvah, and it's around the time that he's also thinking of maybe adopting the brisker method of learning, right? So this is a youth who's really going through a lot of tumult. But he makes a decision ultimately, I'm not going to go for any of it, just Torah. That's the Chazon Ish, just Torah. Now Lawrence Kaplan, in a very important article, which is called The Chazon Ish, a critic of tradition, Chazon Ish, Haredi critic of traditional orthodoxy. Right, you could Google the article, you could get the full text, that's exactly what I did this afternoon. Chazon Ish, Haredi critic of traditional orthodoxy. He points out that what is going on in the Chazon Ish's mind on a certain level is the Chazon Ish is opposing the yeshiva movement, and the Chazon Ish also, we know, opposed the Musar movement. The Chazon Ish in his work Emunos V'Deos is very critical of Musar, no? Chazon Ish doesn't like Musar. And the Chazon Ish doesn't like Reb Chaim's approach to learning. In fact, the Chazon Ish drafted notes at the back of Reb Chaim's Sefer, and he basically tries to argue with every Reb Chaim. Yeah?
What do you mean he's against the yeshiva?
So let me explain what I mean.
I'm assuming like he met a concurrent thing on people.
What?
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. So we're talking about the Chassid in early life now. Later on, right, once he gets to Eretz Yisrael, it's a different picture. But right, once the Chassid is the Godel Hador, it's very different. But until that point, the Chassid as a person, not as a institution, right? The Chassid, you see, let's say it like this. Why were yeshivas founded? Valojin is founded 1803, same year as the Louisiana Purchase. Why did they found yeshivas? Answer: because traditional society is beginning to fall apart. You see, before Valojin was founded, if I'm a kid and I like to learn Gemara, I take my Gemara, I sit in the base medrash, and the local Rav learns with me, and if I'm precocious, I move to a bigger Rav in a different community, I learn with him. But to have a yeshiva where people come from all over to study, that's a new idea, which is a reaction to modernity. Remember, ghetto walls are falling down. People, right, you like this?
Yes.
People are beginning to notice I have options out there. There are secular disciplines that are open to me. I don't have to stay in my shtetl, and because my father is a shoemaker, I don't have to be a shoemaker. I could be a doctor, a lawyer, and an Indian chief. Right? I can study. I can get out there. And this outside world is very appealing to people. And people begin to get lost. And the traditional from society begins to pull apart.
The authority of the Rav of the town, I mean, that just breaks.
The authority of the Rav of the town went down after the authority of the Rosh Yeshivas increased, but the notion of establishing yeshivas is because traditional society, where I do things because Tata Hatgatin, that's beginning to fall apart. Now, the next stage in reaction to the disintegration of the traditional society is saying, one second, why is it that society is disintegrating? Obviously, there's something intellectual, there's something riveting in universities that people are drawn to. You know what? We'd better darn well make Torah just as riveting, just as exciting. And comes along Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim has a new approach to learning, the analytical approach to learning. By the way, if you want to read this beautifully, Shaul Stempfer, History of the Lithuanian Yeshivas. Well, he was like my favorite teacher. I loved Stempfer. He was great. Right? Stempfer points out that Reb Chaim's approach is a reaction. And it's not just Stempfer says this. Everybody says it. Rav Unterman says this. Rav Alevichik said this. Everyone says that the idea of yeshivas with an intellectual lumdisha bent, a Reb Chaim approach to learning, is to fight against the disintegration of society. Mussar. Why is Mussar set up as a movement? Why did Reb Yisrael Salanter establish Mussar? You know why? Because he wants a way of these yeshiva guys to be able to turn to their maskilik friends and say, you know what? Ich bin besser von du. Oh. Do you really care? Are you really an ethical individual? I'm working on my ethics. I'm trying to improve myself. I'm making the world better, one starfish at a time. Right?
I'm totally insufferable.
That is the goal of Mussar. Mussar yeshivas were set up also as a reaction to modernity, a reaction to the disintegration of traditional society. So I have Mussar yeshivas, right? The study, the rigorous study of ethics to make myself a better human being is a reaction to that. Comes along the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says, I represent Koidem modernity. I, Chazon Ish, represent traditional society, traditional Litvak. And the Chazon Ish, to represent traditional Litvak, says, I'm opposed to this new study, this new method of study that Reb Chaim came up with. Because too fancy. Too fancy. Just tell me, Vushtet and Verter. What do the words mean? That's all I need to know. Chazon Ish is very just the words. Right? That's what he does. Point one. Point two. Chazon Ish is opposed to Mussar. Why is he opposed to Mussar? Because the Chazon Ish says, in traditional society, we didn't spend time working on ourselves to improve. You want to improve? Do mitzvahs better. Study the mitzvah with all the details of that mitzvah and perform that mitzvah better. That's improvement. This is what he writes in Emunos Fideos. Right? That improvement involves studying mitzvahs, knowing them well, doing them. It doesn't involve working on your motivations, working on your own mental state. Forget the mental state. Just do it. Right? They quote from Reb Chaim Valojener, unser tafkid is zu tun, nicht zu aufgetun. No? Our tafkid, our responsibility is to do, not to accomplish. You do, you don't worry about the mental states, forget about that, do the mitzvahs. That's what the Rabbi Nishalom wants. So far so good? Now, says Lawrence Kaplan that there's another dimension though. The other dimension over here is based on the sense of the Chazon Ish was opposed to Chiddush in the classical sense. Chiddush means that I'm coming up with new and innovative ideas. Brisk is all about Chiddushim. The Chazon Ish wasn't into Chiddush. The Chazon Ish used to always quote from Reb Chaim Valojener that the definition of Chiddush means understanding something well that you didn't understand beforehand. Chiddush means you get it well. That's it. Now, what that means is, in some ways, the Chazon Ish is a reaction against the sense of independence, the sense of freedom, the sense of, right, how do we say it? Right? If I am a brisker and my goal in learning is to come up with a new einfall, a new chap, something that no one had beforehand, so how do I do it? Right? I come up with my new chap and I'm great. The Chazon Ish is saying, no. What I want to emphasize is submission to the text, not independence from it, not value of new ideas. Chazon Ish is into emphasizing submission. And for that reason, also the Chazon Ish felt that the approach of the Mussar yeshivas was all misguided. Because Mussar, with its emphasis on interpersonal thoughts, right, the emphasis on the motivations of the heart, what I'm thinking about, what Mussar is saying is that the independence matters. The Chazon Ish says, I don't care what you're thinking. Do it. Right? Submission. That's it. That's Larry Kaplan's article. I think it's an interesting point. He has a number of very interesting points in this article. It's actually a very good article that he points out. Yeah?
His reaction to brisk have been a function of his plodding intelligence?
So, again, it could be that the Chazon Ish had a different type of mind, right? Absolutely. And some say that the Chazon Ish just didn't get Reb Chaim. Like, the Chazon Ish, every note that the Chazon Ish has about Reb Chaim, I'm looking for where Larry Kaplan says that. He has some line, he has some nice formulation, but I forgot where he says it. But just the Chazon Ish just didn't get what Reb Chaim is trying to do. It's a different way of thinking. Two other points, or maybe we'll start with one other point, then we'll just finish up the biography of the Chazon Ish very quickly. Reb Zevin, the first editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudit, he has a book called Ishim Reshitos, where basically he's the first person, I think, who tried to do what we're trying to do in the Shiurim, which is to understand the personality of Baalei Halacha and show you how they learned Halacha based on their life story, etc. Beautiful, beautiful work, Ishim Reshitos. So he points out very interestingly, the Chazon Ish's first sefer came out in Europe, 1911. Hasan Shmeid Aliyah in 33. 1911, his first book came out. He wrote a total of 4 books while he was in Europe. All 4 books, by the way, were published anonymously. All of his 20 books are published anonymously. It doesn't say Avim Yishai Karela. It's on the title page. Not only are they published anonymously, the Chazon Ish's books do not have any haskamas. There's no letters of approbation. Now, of course, he had no Rebbe to give him a letter of approbation. But there's something about that that Rav Zevin explains that's really prototypical Chazon Ish, which is that let my words speak for themselves. Emes. Judge my words based on what they are. The Chazon Ish's writings are all, you know, you have to really be holding in the sugya. If you went through the entire topic with all the Rishonim, then you read Chazon Ish point out that one little insight in the Rambam, one little insight in the Rush, one little insight in Tosfos, right? He puts it all together that way, but you have to really have done a lot of groundwork before you can understand the Chazon Ish. Okay, fine. The Chazon Ish's first book comes out in 1911. Obviously his first book is his earliest book. Hence, it's his first book. Rav Zevin notes that there's a difference between the Chazon Ish's first book and every subsequent sefer of the Chazon Ish, which is that the first book is much more analytical. In the first book of the Chazon Ish, he raises a question about, for example, the nature of Shomei HaKa'ona. Shomei HaKa'ona means that when I hear you do something, it's as if I recited it myself. No? Shomei HaKa'ona. It's like I said it. Well, what does that mean, Shomei HaKa'ona, the Chazon Ish asks? Does Shomei HaKa'ona mean that the act of hearing is the way I fulfill the mitzvah? Or does it mean that hearing is the halachic equivalent to speaking? That's a very conceptual type of question, very brisker type of question. The Chazon Ish flushes this out. I think it's Simen Chav in the Chazon Ish. In none of his later works does he do anything this analytical. Says Rav Zevin, he thinks that because in his earlier works, the Chazon Ish's works, by the way, he said that I didn't intend on publishing them. That's why I never had to write my name on them. It's my own notebooks. If people want to read my notebook, they can read my notebook. What do I care? And it's hard for me to read my own handwriting, so I published it. You can't just publish one copy. You can't publish a couple thousand copies because that's how you publish books. That's what the Chazon Ish said about himself, which is all very interesting. But the fact that he has this approach like Reb Chaim right at the beginning and then he moves away is fascinating. Okay, I just want to make a few more points about the Chazon Ish, which are somewhat interesting. The Chazon Ish is 27 years old, and he gets engaged to a young woman named Basha Bai. Basha Bai is from the town of Chvidan. Her father is a business person in Chvidan. Chazon Ish's wife, Basha Bai, originally, people felt that this was not a great shidduch for the Chazon Ish. His wife was around 20 years older than he was.
Really?
Now, if you're 27 and your wife is 20 years older than you are, and then you recognize the Chazon Ish never had children, right? Now, how come the Chazon Ish's family went for this shidduch? So there's a few reasons. First of all, the Chazon Ish was a sickly young man who had lots of chumras. No one was interested in this guy. Basha Bai was interested, and she agreed to marry him.
Had she been previously
married? No. She agreed to marry him. Basha Bai's father promised the Chazon Ish a very large dowry. Subsequently, his business fell apart, he reneged something. Chazon Ish got no money. They go to the Chazon Ish, do you want to break the shidduch? The Chazon Ish says, I can't embarrass a Jewish girl. And he married her. He married her. Years later, the Chazon Ish really wanted children. He goes to his wife. He says, I want to get divorced because I want to have children. She said, fine, you can divorce me. I'm just telling you that on the way back from the Beis Din, I have to get my get. I'm jumping off the bridge. The Chazon Ish never again mentioned divorce to her. And the Chazon Ish, according to some traditions, according to Tzvi Kolitz's father, he never handed anything to her again. Just like when your wife is in need, you put it down on the table and she picked it up, he treated her that way for the rest of the years. Benny Brown argues in his book that the Chazon Ish and his wife had a kim'at non-existent marriage. This was not a... The Chazon Ish respected his wife. She supported him in learning. But he would go out from early morning till late at night. They had... The only thing they did together was occasionally the Chazon Ish would do the books of the business. They had a very bad marriage. Now, this is what Benny Brown has in his book. In the reviews of Benny Blau's, of Benny, what's his name? Benny Brown's book. So that same review that I quoted from Yeshivat Shalavim, Rabbi Levine, he says, you can't say this about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was such a sweet, nice person. To say he had a bad marriage, isn't that insulting? I don't know. It's hard to know. This is...
Was there someone there? I mean, someone would have been around that said something. I mean, like,
so
Benny
there
Brown
were,
wasn't there.
Benny Brown wasn't there. There were people around. The people around, Shaul Lieberman from JTS, was a cousin of the Chazon Ish.
Really?
By the way, Shaul Lieberman learned exactly the same way as the Chazon Ish learned, which, by the way, I consider very boring. That it's not like Reb Chaim. It's boring. It's like analytical. Shaul Lieberman writes that the Chazon Ish at one point spent a lot of time in Minsk, and the Chazon Ish's wife had the store Nechvidan, and he wasn't with his wife, and Shaul Lieberman used to stay with the Chazon Ish in the apartment, and he tells about the Chazon Ish waking up in the middle of the night and sitting on the bed and like mumbling in Hilchus Erevin and writing stuff down on the bed. He tells these things, and Shaul Lieberman talks about the type of marriage that they had.
It ties in with renouncing pleasure.
Maybe. I don't know if it's renouncing pleasure, just that this was... They say, by the way, in the Haredi biographies of the Chazon Ish, they hint at this. They say that the Chazon Ish was married to the Torah.
Oh, thanks.
Now, it says something. It says a great deal, but it is something that's worth focusing on. It's an interesting point. It's an interesting nekuda in the life of the Chazon Ish. Yeah.
It comes up, just because there's a famous story about him with the Shidduch, where the Boch asked, well, how come I never met the Shidduch? And he said to him, you did, you just rejected because your nose was too large or for whatever reason. So he's saying, every woman is fungible, you don't have to have any standards. So now, in light of his own
maybe
marriage, that
I mean, Benny Brown hints at some of the letters of the Chazon Ish where he hints at these ideas in terms of there's a Ramah about whether you're allowed to divorce your wife after 10 years of marriage if she didn't have children. The Chazon Ish hints at that, etc. Now, the Chazon Ish in 1920 moves to Vilna after the First World War. When he's in Vilna, he establishes a relationship with Reb Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, who's the Rav in Vilna. This relationship, Reb Chaim Moshe speaks to the Chazon Ish about halachic matters, quotes the Chazon Ish, and we know from Chaim Moshe's letters and the Chazon Ish's letters that eventually Reb Chaim Moshe started consulting with the Chazon Ish about political matters as well. The Chazon Ish decided as early as 1923 wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. Not for real Zionistic reasons, but apparently he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. And he writes to one of his friends a question as to whether his wife would be able to sell fabric in Eretz Yisrael, because he needed a parnos. And the Pesachei Tshuva writes in Evan Ezra Ayin Hey that you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz if you don't have a parnos. So Chazon Ish tries to, as early as 23, tries to move to Eretz Yisrael. He's unsuccessful for 10 years, although he had this plan. In 1933, his house burns down, his wife's fabric all gets lost, and then apparently he turns to his wife and says, now we have no reason to stay in Chutz La'aretz, let's move to Eretz Yisrael. And Reb Chaim Eizer arranged for the Chazon Ish's visa to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now there's a whole bunch of stories that came up which are very interesting, which are all documented in letters mostly for Reb Chaim Eizer. The Badate, the Haredis at that time, like the head of it was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. And then there was a fellow, Rabbi Moshe Bloy, who was Avram Blau's father. And Rabbi Moshe Blau wanted to find assistant rabbi to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, and he wanted a Litvak to be the rabbi because he was worried that a Hungarian would become the rabbi in the Banat Zeh Charedis and would make the Banat Zeh Charedis too extreme.
Yeah.
So he wanted a Litvak, a moderate Litvak. So he goes to Vilna and to speak to Rabbi Chaim Oizer. Rabbi Chaim Oizer says, take this guy, Avraham Yishai Karela, to the Chazon Ish, make him the rabbi. So Rav Moshe Boyle approaches the Chazon Ish, offers him the job to be assistant to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. Chazon says, I refuse to be a rabbi. They say, you won't have to do anything. I refuse because you're going to make me sit on Dine Torah, and that even though I pass in Shabbos, I refuse to sit on Dine Torah. This went on for years. Later on, after Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld dies, and they appoint Rav Dushinsky, who was actually Hungarian, to be the head of the Banat Zeh Charedis. Then the Chazon Ish decides to move to Eretz Yisrael, and Reb Chaim Oizer picks up again, and he tries to get the Chazon Ish a visa to go to Eretz Yisrael. All wonderful. He reaches out to Rav Bloy. Rav Bloy once again offers the Chazon Ish a job. The Chazon Ish doesn't want to take it. He doesn't want to take it. It turned out the Chazon Ish went to Eretz Yisrael. How he got the visa is a big machlokas. Some sources say he got the visa because the Aguda workers obtained the visa for him very quickly. Others say that Rav Kook obtained the visa for the Chazon Ish. Wikipedia takes the Rav Kook approach, no? Somewhere. Wikipedia writes, where is it? Rushdie? Here. He moved to Vilna in 1920, came close to Reb Chaim Oz and Kosher Gajensky. With Avram Yitzchak Cook's help, the Chazon Ish settled in Eretz Yisrael. It's unclear exactly if the Rav Kook helped, but the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook certainly had a relationship. The first letter that the Chazon Ish wrote after coming to Eretz Yisrael was a letter to Rav Kook. One time, the Chazon Ish went to hear Rav Kook speak, and the Chazon Ish stood up the entire time Rav Kook was speaking. This is published in Shana B'Shana and Toshin Mem Dalid. The Chazon Ish stood up the entire time Rav Kook was speaking. He said, "They're Torah state. Torah standing and giving the speech. I also have to stand." The Chazon Ish and Rav Kook, I just saw now there's a YU exhibit about Shemitah, and they have some primary documents about Shemitah. So one of the documents that they have is in the Chazon Ish's own handwriting, a copy of Rav Kook's Sefer on Shemitah, Shabbat Haaretz. And if you read the Chazon Ish on Shemitah, he's disagreeing in the sequence of the Shabbat Haaretz, which is very fascinating. Ari Bergman is the one who gave these documents to the YU Museum. It's mamish. You can gain a lot just by seeing the Chazon Ish's handwriting. He copied Shabbat Haaretz. We don't know exactly if the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook was involved in bringing the Chazon Ish to Eretz Yisrael, but what we do know is that the Chazon Ish was really not political at this point. Like Reb Chaim Oizer, he's not trying to get involved. Okay, so let Rav Kook help. He just wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the basic story. That's the basic story over there. The Chazon Ish would write letters arguing with Shtick Lach Torah that different people wrote. Mostly he tried to upschlug people from the Mizrahi, including Rav Soloveitchik. There is a back and forth between the Rav and an unknown author in the Igros HaGrid, pages Kuf Lamed through Kuf Lamed Beis. That unknown person is the Chazon Ish, according to Chaim Soloveitchik. There's a lot more to say about the Chazon Ish. The most important point, though, I want to make now is the Chazon Ish was virtually unknown when he was in Europe. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that the one point of Chaim Grada's novels that's not factually accurate is Chaim Grada writes that on the day when the author of The Vision of Abraham is boarding the train to leave Vilna, he says that all of the rabbis of Vilna are there to escort this great figure and everyone is present. The Rav said that in Europe no one knew the Chazon Ish. Reb Chaim Oizer knew him, but he wasn't known. Rav Huttner writes in the Zichronos, or Brurya David, Rebson David writes in the intellectual biography, writes of her father, the beginning of Igros Uksavim of the Pachad Yitzchak on page 36. So Rebbetzin David writes the shame her father that he always regretted that when he was in Vilna he never went to see the Chazon Ish. He says, but listen, it's not a Tanami because no one knew Ad Heichan Hadvar Megiyim. No one knew how great he was. We knew he was a big Talmud Chacham in Vilna who learned on his own. We didn't know how great he was. No one knew. No one knew. And that's really the story of the Chazon Ish. Maybe next time we could talk a little bit about the Chazon Ish in Eretz Yisrael and some of the Chazon Ish's halachic works. And I thank you for listening.